Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. If you want to examine your face, well, there's a simple thing that you do. You look in a mirror. You go to a mirror and you look and you see your face. You see if you have any bumps or bruises. Elijah has a bump on his lip. He can see that in a mirror. He might be able to see it if he sticks his lip out far enough, but he can see it clearly in a mirror. He examines himself. He sees it. When I was born, there had been some controversy with my parents, for at least from my dad's side. He had thought that my mother had not been faithful because he had had surgery, so he couldn't have kids. Well, when I was born, they looked at me and they said, "No, this is your son, because I look just like his other sons. I was the spitting image of them." There was something familiar about it, about who I was. That's what it is with a mirror. That's what it is if you take a picture. You can capture that image for as long as the picture lasts. That's what people used to do with portraits. They would have a painter and they would try and paint them. And they'd paint them exactly as they looked, for some people. Well, that's what Psalm 1 is. It's a portrait. It's a picture. It's a snapshot of two different people. It's a snapshot of a Christian, of what Psalm 1 calls the blessed man, and it's a snapshot of the ungodly. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, is that very image. 2 Corinthians 13 tells us to examine ourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And that's what we want you to do. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. In Matthew chapter 7, we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount on a regular basis. We haven't gotten to the end of the Sermon on the Mount in this particular portion of Scripture. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, Jesus Christ says that there are going to be people that call him Lord when they stand before him in heaven. When they come and they see Christ, they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done these amazing things for you?" And he's going to look at them and he's going to say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There was never a relationship there, but they had convinced themselves, Isaiah. They had convinced themselves that they were Christians, Malachi, even though they weren't. They thought they had done something to earn salvation. And they never realized that there is nothing man can do to earn salvation. It is a gift of God, not of works, but it's through faith. They never trusted Christ and Christ alone. Well, Psalm 1 is that portrait that we can look at to examine ourselves to see whether our image is similar to the image that we see there. So you read verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So the first section that we want to consider, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's telling us that the blessed man, the Christian, is someone that doesn't go to the wrong places for advice. He doesn't listen to things, Malachi. He doesn't listen to things. He doesn't do things that he knows are going to lead him astray. He doesn't listen to the wrong people. And you say, well, yeah, I'm a pretty good person. There's all kinds of things that I do, but I don't hang around with bad people. But you see, sometimes the things that we hear are more subtle than we realize. Sometimes teachers are telling us things that aren't true. They'll tell you that the world is 35 or 45 or 4.5 billion years old, when the Bible says otherwise. They'll tell you that your well-being is the most important thing. Those things aren't true. Jesus Christ is the most important thing, Elijah. There's all kinds of counsel out there. You can hear it on the radio. You know, some songs that come on the radio, they sound really cool. The boys and I have even been joking around about one song, and it just seems to be saying na 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 all the time. And it's fun. But I would venture to say that the rest of that song is not good counsel. It isn't telling us things that are good to do or good to say. You know, we watch TV. The TV seems a lot of fun. But there are attitudes on TV that are not positive. And that influences, that shapes the things that people do. Shapes the way they walk. But the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So he doesn't go to the bad places to find his advice. He doesn't look to society to show him what to do, to tell him what to do. He doesn't go to those that are clearly doing things wrong to find out what he should or shouldn't do. But the opposite is also true. That means that he is not going to the ungodly for counsel. He is going to the godly for counsel. He's going to different places to seek wisdom from them. You know, your parents are good places to find wisdom. If your parents are Christians, that's a good place to find godly wisdom. The pastor of a church is a good place to go to ask advice. He may not know all the ins and outs of your situation, but he can give you biblical principles that will apply. Christian friends, those are good places to go for counsel. God's Word is the best place to go for counsel. You want to understand what God would want you to do? Study His Word. Study His Word so that you know it. Know what it says. Not only does the blessed man not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, he's not going to seek advice from them. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Now you say, well, wait a second, what's the difference between those two things? What's the difference between walking in the counsel of the ungodly or standing in the way of sinners? Well, you see, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, it says, you're just listening to them. But if you're standing in the way of sinners, that means you're where they are. That means you've placed yourself where they go, where they frequent, where they commit those sins, where it's obvious that it's sin, where it's obvious that good things aren't happening, bad things are. You see, now it's gone from just listening to counsel to putting yourself in a situation that can lead you to be tempted. Putting yourself in a situation where someone says, well, I thought that person was a Christian. Why are they there? And so they must be a hypocrite. They must not truly do what they say they believe. But see, the blessed man, he doesn't stand in those places. He doesn't go to those places. He's not seeking counsel from them. He's also not going where they go when they commit their sin. He doesn't put himself into tempting situations. You see, so many times when we're tempted to do wrong, it's because we've placed ourselves in a situation that will be tempting. An alcoholic should never go to a bar. My three boys should never sit together in church, because they tempt one another. Because they want to play with one another. You want to be good? You want to listen? Well then, listen to the person who tells you the good things. Don't listen to someone who doesn't tell you the truth. If someone is leading you astray, I wouldn't go back to that person for counsel. If someone was a counselor to you, and their counsel, their advice, turned out to be wrong, I wouldn't go back to them for advice. Go to the good places. See, the blessed man, because he's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, because he's not standing in the way of sinners, that means he's standing in the way of the godly. That means he's placing himself in better situations. Now, that's not going to erase sin out of someone's life, but it's going to remove the possibilities. It's going to lessen the possibilities. It's going to lessen the temptations. It's going to help them look to God to a greater degree. So not only does the blessed man not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but walks in the counsel of the godly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, but stands in the way of the godly. Elijah, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't sit in the seat of those that mock. You see, there's a progression here. It's gone from listening to being with someone to being like someone. That's the idea of sitting in their seat. Now it's not so much listening to them. Now it's progressed to standing with them. But now it's progressed to being them. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. Sitting in the seat of those that mock what God does. Sitting in the seat of those that mock righteousness. You see, the Bible teaches that as man's hearts grow cold and love grows cold, what will they do? They will call righteousness evil and call evil good. They'll flip-flop those things. And you see that in the world today, and you've seen it for many years. That's what happens. Christians are told that they're not tolerant because they're narrow-minded. Because they believe in Jesus Christ the only way. That's true. We do. But see, true Christians are tolerant. Are more tolerant than anyone else is. Because we understand that we were in the same place. Far from Christ as sinners before He saved us by His grace. And so we can understand how others are. And we can hate sin and not the sinner. We can treat them better than we were treated by others because God has treated us better than we deserve. But that's what the world does. And that, so it's imperative that we as Christians don't sit in those seats. Don't act as they act. Don't go to those places. Don't listen to that advice. Because God has called us to be different. So these have all been negative statements so far. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, that stand nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Those are things he doesn't do. And yes, the opposite is true, but what does the Bible tell us he does? Well, he does, in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, for a Christian, the best place to be is with other people of God. To hear God's word preached. To sing praises unto His name. To study His word on his own. To study the Bible on his own. It's a delight to the Christian to hear the things of God. It wells up joy inside, the joy of Christ inside him. To hear God's word preached. To sing those songs. And not only that, he meditates upon it. The word meditate here has the idea of chewing. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, I remember as a kid, the first steak I ever had was cooked by my brother Tony. And my brother Tony had no idea how to cook a steak, at least at that time. And that steak was cooked until it was so done that it felt like leather when you tried to chew it. And you, when you took a bite, you chewed and you chewed and you chewed and you chewed. Every bite seemed like it took 10 minutes to chew. Because that's how tough it was. That's the idea of the word meditate. That you're chewing on something until you truly get it. Until you truly understand it. Until it becomes a part of you. Until it becomes a part of who you are. Meditating takes time. Meditating takes time. That means you have to cut the other things out of your life to meditate upon God's Word. Some of those things might be this very counsel that you don't want to listen to, like the TV or the radio or other things. You see, there's all kinds of things, and those may not even be bad things. You may not be watching something that's not profitable. You may not be reading something that's not profitable. You may not be listening to something that's not profitable. But it's not as good as meditating on God's Word. It's taking those opportunities to grow in Christ. That's what the portrait that Psalm 1 gives us. That's the snapshot that it is taken here. So what does the blessed man resemble? Well, the scriptures tell us in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So the idea that the Bible gives us is like a tree. You know, you've seen trees that are dying. Most of the time when a tree dies, it's because it doesn't get enough water. It doesn't get enough sustenance. In California right now, they're going through the most severe drought they've had in over 50 years. Well, here in England, they're getting so much water, they're saying this is the wettest winter they've had on record. The tree that is pictured in Psalm 1 is a tree that's planted right by the river. So it has a constant source of water. It has a constant source of food, of nourishment. That's a Christian who's meditating upon God's Word. That's the picture there. This is the food for a Christian. And a Christian that's meditating upon this is like a tree planted by water, planted by the rivers of water. You can think of that as the waters of life, because that's what that Jesus says, out of him the waters of life will flow. Here is the rivers of water, the Christian is planted by it. There's stability there, to know that there's a river, not just a little creek that might dry up, but constant water for life. And not only that, because he has constant life, he's bearing fruit. You see, a true Christian doesn't just soak things in and keep it for themselves. No, it flows out of them in fruit. The fruits of the Spirit. Being salt, being light, those things come out of a Christian. It's natural for who they are. It's natural for them. It's not natural for any person. It's natural for a Christian. Because God has put a new spirit in them. Made them a new creation. And so they bear fruit. And what is fruit? It's good. It's good for the tree, but it's also good for others. It helps others. You know, we could all pick our favorite fruit, whatever it might be. Most fruit is sweet. Gives you energy. Gives you strength. And if we had the land, it'd be great to have fruit trees. Because we enjoy fruit so much. Well, this is the idea here of the Christian. Bearing his fruit in his season. Having a positive effect on others. because of what's flowing in, because he's meditating upon God's word, because he's delighting in God's word. And not only that, you notice there's no diseased limbs here. The Bible says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither." What a picture of a tree. A tree that's bearing fruit in his season, but that is green all the year through. We can think of evergreens, and they have got the spiny little needles. And you can even think of a holly bush that's green all the year, but it's spiky. No, this is a picture of a tree that has leaves. And those leaves don't wither because of the life flowing through the tree. And that's exactly the picture of a Christian. Because he's planted by the river of life. That's the portrait that the Bible gives us. That the Christian is constantly seeking nourishment from God through his word and through gathering together with other Christians. To worship him, to pray, to study, to meditate. And his leaf is green all the year because of it. And then he works hard. That's his character. You see, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He does things, and those things work out because of what he does. Because of who he's doing it for. That's what God does through a Christian. That doesn't mean that it's a health and wealth gospel, that everything's going to go well. That everything's going to come to him, and that the milk's going to flow. You're going to have honey, you're going to have money, you're going to have all the things you want. That's not what he's saying. But it's going to be evident that someone's a Christian because of how hard they work. They have their proverbial nose to the grindstone. Not to get ahead in life, but for the glory of God. But for the glory of the name of the one they worship. And that's the reason for it. Listen to this picture again. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the portrait that the Bible gives of a Christian. There's stability there. There's life there. What's the picture of the ungodly? What does the Bible paint? What does this psalm, the psalmist here paint of the ungodly? What's more different than the stability of a tree? You know, you think of an English oak tree, the firmness of that, the strength of that oak. What's the exact opposite of that? Well, the Bible says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, you may not know what chaff is, but you know what wind is. Isaiah even told us today that you can't see the wind, but you can feel it, and you can see the results of it. The past couple weeks in England, the wind has been so strong, the coastline has seen greater than 100 mile an hour winds hitting the coast. Well, chaff is this light, fluffy stuff on the husks of the wheat, on the grains. You can think of it, if you can picture it, like those little dandelion things that you pull in the summertime. And the flower, the yellow flower has gone away, and it's just that puffy white ball. And you go, and you blow that puffy white ball, and all those little seeds start floating away. That's like the chaff. You see, when a farmer picks the wheat, they thresh it. It means they toss it in the air. And they toss it in the air so that the wind will come through. And the wind comes through and it doesn't blow away the wheat. It blows away the chaff. Blows away all the bad stuff. And that stuff being blown away, having no permanence, is what the Bible calls the ungodly. So here you have the picture of the tree, planted by the streams, the rivers of life, bearing fruit, having green leaves all the year through. And opposed to that, you have the chaff, which the wind just blows away. That's the ungodly. There's no permanence there. That's like the grass in Kentucky. When the rains stop and they turn brown immediately. That's what's taking place. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. What is your picture look like? The Bible says examine yourself. Find out which one represents you. Are you that tree planted by the rivers of water? Well, if you are, that means that you delight in the law of the Lord. That you meditate upon His word. That you go for godly counsel. That you listen to that godly counsel. You don't go where you're going to tempt yourself. You don't go and sit and be like the sinners. You're different than that. Or are you like the chaff? Are you like the chaff that the wind just blows away? That's where the sinners are. That's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. That's standing in the way of sinners. That's sitting in the seat of the scornful. And when the judgment comes, guess what the ungodly won't be doing? They won't be standing in God's presence. You see, the Bible paints a portrait. The Bible tells us that every knee will bow before Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow. And it happens for everybody. But there's a difference. The godly, the blessed man, the Christian, bows the knee now. So that one day, he will stand before God. Because Jesus Christ is going to say, I've paid the price for this one. He's already bowed the knee to me. But the ungodly, verse 5 tells us, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They're going to bow the knee then, but it will be too late. If you wait to bow the knee when you go before God, that bowing is too late. You have to bow it in this life. You have to do it now before Him. Because the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, because God knows your heart. He knows what's inside you. Verse 6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It shall go away, because why? They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And so, my counsel to you, because God has done a work in my heart, my counsel to you is to examine yourself in light of the portrait. Use it as a mirror. Is it a mirror that is reflecting you? Does this psalm point you to yourself? Do you delight? Are you happy when you hear the word of God? Are you happy to be in church? To sing? To pray? Do those things give you joy? Or are you like the ungodly and wish you were somewhere else? Anywhere else? Which portrait is yours? If the portrait that this psalm paints of you is of the ungodly, is of the chaff, you need to turn to Christ. You need to trust Him. Repent of your sins. Because He is the only way, the only life, the only truth. That's the only place it's found. And so we point you to Him.